B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati here from Hurricanes. I was going to say Hurricane O'Reilly's. Is it a new? It's just Hurricanes.
Yeah, it's just Hurricanes.
Hurricanes.
Hurricanes at the Garden.
Here, just down the street from the Boston Garden, where the Celtics take on the Lakers tonight.
I like the look of it, though.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub, it's a redone Hurricane, so we're down here because it's Celtics-Lakers, and it's NBA trade deadline day. We are now less than an hour from the NBA trade deadline. I love these shows.
Oh, my God.
I love them.
NBA trade deadline day is like, it's like sponsored by the National Enquirer.
I love it. I love everything about it. Even if nothing happens, it's great. It doesn't look like there's a lot of stuff happening, but you never know. You never know. I'm not one of these media guys that says, oh, nothing's going to happen. Like, why kill our own action? This is a league where stuff happens, and it happens late, and it happens unexpectedly, and so we've got about 57 minutes. Well, exactly how much longer do we have, Jimmy? You gotta.
1 hour until the NBA trade deadline.
It's all right. It's okay. Whatever Danny does or doesn't do in the next 60 minutes, we can live with. If he wants to add some talent, he can add talent. And we'll love it. And if he doesn't want to add any talent, we're gonna love that too. Okay? Everyone okay?
Yeah.
Danny, we love you.
57 minutes and counting now till the NBA trade deadline. And the latest is it feels like the Lakers and the Pelicans thing is not going to happen today. Okay, but again, you never know. Deadlines tend to spur people into action. We'll see what happens there. There have been some moves made across the league as it relates to your competition in the East, which I want to get to in a second. But just as we sit here right now, Maz, you got a lead-off thought for me before I get into some specifics?
Well, look, I think the fact that the Anthony Davis deal is probably not going to get done, I don't find that terribly surprising. I'm not sure anyone should. No, the drama still exists, though. Like, just because the deal isn't done today doesn't mean that all these machinations and this maneuvering and leveraging, all this is still going on. I mean, it's going to continue to go on right into the summer. Like, really, what you got is an extended season of the NBA trade deadline as a result of it. And, you know, there is sort of a secondary topic here as it pertains to the Celtics. You do have bodies moving. Are the Celtics going to do anything to sort of fortify their roster and help their team? You know, it doesn't feel like it, so there's that element, too.
Okay, Jimmy, you can release the hounds for your reaction, folks, what you want them to do, what you think will happen, what your assessment is of the whole situation, 617-779-0985. So there was a move made today. Mirotić goes to the Bucks. There was one made yesterday. Tobias Harris goes to the Sixers, two teams that are right in. I'm sorry?
And we have another one, too, another Eastern Conference
team. Well,
that's
Jimmy.
Getting better.
Let's not be shy, then. Go ahead.
I don't have it. I'm sorry. I'm setting up my.
Okay.
Let me do it for you.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
From Sports Illustrated on Twitter, official blue check mark. The Raptors are set to acquire Marc Gasol from the Memphis Grizzlies in exchange for Jonas Valanciunas, Deion Wright, CJ Miles, and a 2024 second round draft pick.
Oh, that's a big one.
I wish you had the sounder, Jimmy. That one was actually worth it.
That's
and
a big
I wish I had technology that worked. So there's that.
Jimmy, as soon as you have it, let me know because I just want to hit it, okay? Because as soon as you have it, you let me know, and we'll fire it, and we'll reset it.
In fact, I think we should report that one again when we get it.
So let
me get this straight then, okay? That in the Eastern Conference, Philadelphia, Toronto, and Milwaukee have now all made deals.
Right. This is right.
Okay? And they're very much win-now moves, too.
Yeah, and Toronto especially, yeah. Right? Because the Kawhi window is small. And look, from that standpoint, I give the Raptors credit. Not that anyone gives a rat's ass about the Raptors. But the bottom line is this. And recently, the Celtics just eclipsed the Sixers in the conference. But nonetheless, the other three of the four teams in the East at the top of the conference have all made acquisitions at the deadline here. We got 50-some-odd minutes to go, and Danny Ainge hasn't done anything yet.
Okay, so I want to ask you, and Jimmy, as soon as that button is there, let me know. But I want to ask you, Jimmy.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Go ahead. Woo! Do it again.
One more time. The Raptors. The Toronto Raptors reportedly set to acquire Marc Gasol from the Memphis Grizzlies in exchange for Jonas Valanciunas, Deion Wright, CJ Miles, and a 2024 second-round draft pick.
Okay. Mirotić to the Bucks, Gasol to the Raptors, Tobias Harris to the Sixers. Jimmy, does that change the landscape in the East, in your opinion?
I don't think so, because Harris to the Sixers doesn't, because they still have Brett Brown, who's a terrible coach. But it puts Philadelphia in a cap situation where they have insurance if Jimmy Butler leaves. But I think the only threat in the East right now is the Bucks, who with this acquisition, they have another shooter for Giannis to kick out to and actually make shots. So
you don't care about Gasol to the Raptors?
No, because I think Gasol is in a similar place as Al Horford, where he's on the downslide of his career. I think Toronto should have kept Valanciunas, actually, and I think they would have been a better option there.
So, look, I think Jimmy's selling the Tobias Harris move a little short. You know, this guy's averaging 20 points a game. He's a veteran guy.
He can shoot?
Yeah, 43% from three-point land.
Okay, isn't that what the Sixers need?
Absolutely it is. And I'll tell you the other thing from what I understand. I made a couple of calls last night. I made some more this morning. But as it pertains to Tobias Harris, and this is not coming from anybody remotely related to the Celtics, these are my quote-unquote lead sources, if you want to believe that, okay? That Harris is one of these guys who's extremely low maintenance, very even keeled, very professional, which to me, you know, a guy who will lead by example, which is what the Sixers could use. I mean, they got a lot of young nitwits on that team who are emotional still and maybe not the most professional, polished team. Like, that move does intrigue me a little bit. You got a veteran guy there who can score and has got sort of some
stability. Yeah, they need locker room stability.
Yes, they do. They need locker room stability. I think there's a chance that move could be significant for them.
Okay, so that's one tier that I really wasn't anticipating being a story. I felt like the story going in today was going to be Davis, Kyrie, the Pelicans holding out till the offseason, the Lakers coming up high, and like that whole machination. But now,
you know, for the first time in forever, it feels like the East is actually more interesting than the West.
Well, okay, because, and not just, it's more competitive, maybe, or more wide open. So I wasn't anticipating there'd be sort of a here and now discussion, but I think there is. I think there is. Three direct competitors to you in the East now have made upgrades. Does that close the gap with you? Does that put them further ahead of you? I think that's worth discussing. And it sort of ties into sort of the reaction to this Davis stuff. And I'm going to read from Gary Washburn here in the Globe, because I think he echoes the feelings of, you know, a fair amount of Celtics fans.
Yeah, I saw this too. Yeah.
And Gary Washburn says Ainge would be risking too much in, you know, basically emptying out the cupboards for Anthony Davis, especially on a one-year rental. But the way Gary Washburn writes it, as basically to make the move at all, to make the move at all. Gary Washburn says the Celtics are 25-9 since their 10-11 start, and they've won 10-11. Since that ghastly three-game losing streak in early January. He says the Celtics became a different team, starting with that home game against the Raptors, and have resembled the team expected to reach the NBA Finals. So the question is why Danny Ainge would blow up the current roster in pursuit of Davis, who is one of the best players in the league, but hasn't reached the second round of the playoffs in his 7 years, and has given no assurances he would re-sign with the Celtics, so why would he do it? Washburn writes, the fact is the Celtics have a team capable of competing for the championship now. And if they could acquire a DeAndre Jordan or Wayne Ellington through a buyout market, that makes them even stronger. Okay, do we agree with that? The fact is the Celtics have a team capable of competing for a championship now.
Yeah, as presently constituted, I think they could make a deep run. But I think what he's leaving out here is you need Anthony Davis to ensure that Kyrie Irving stays long term.
You know,
I also think, like,
I mean, is he parsing words? Do they have a team that can compete for a championship?
So yes.
So, like, what does that mean? Make the finals and take the Warriors to 6-7 games?
Right. See, that's how I look at it. In that league, you're either one of the top two or three, or you're not. In this case, it's the top one or not.
You know, if he wrote, the fact is the Celtics have a team capable of winning a championship now, if they could acquire a DeAndre Jordan or blah, blah, blah.
You know why he didn't write that? Because he doesn't believe it. Look, at Golden State, when they were in here, and this is, I'm just going off the last game, okay? But I think we could all agree, based on what we've seen from them ever since Durant got there, they are toying with the rest of the league. What did they do last night? 25 out of 26 shots against San Antonio they made? 25 out of 26. And the one they missed was Draymond Green shooting a three that looked like he was hucking a brick up there, for crying out loud. It was really a brutal shot. So, but the point, I think they toy with the rest of the league. So I'm sorry. I like the Celtics roster too. I generally like the team basketball and all that. They're not going to beat Golden State. And I understand Golden State could change after the year or so, but until that happens, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're championship caliber, because I don't think they are.
Yeah, using his verbiage, they competed for the NBA title last year. They go to the game of the finals.
Exactly. So I think the debate, I mean, I wonder how he feels. I wonder if he feels if they could win it. I wonder if Celtics fans feel they could win it. I wonder if the Celtics feel they could win it. And if that's the case, and this is possible, because the Celtics tend to overrate themselves. I mean, they just do. The fans, the media, the team itself, I think, just is sort of a condition of Celtic Nation. They sort of overrate the team. And if they feel that way, then what's all this stuff with Davis? Is it possible the whole thing could be a smokescreen just to drive up the price, screw around with the Lakers, you know, that sort of thing?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible.
Well, look, and I'll tell you what tipped me off. You linked to a New York Times story this morning, and I don't remember who the author was.
So Mark Stein. So, I mean, it's just the latest. I mean, another indication. Mark Stein reports that Anthony Davis has no intention of re-signing with the Celtics, and he has reiterated that the closer we get to the deadline. He has no again, and here's it exactly. Sources say Davis remains adamant that he will not sign a long-term deal with Boston if the Celtics trade for him in July. He also said in another report that the Knicks have now gone side-by-side with the Lakers on equal footing as a preferred destination for Davis. So your thoughts on that?
Well, so when I saw that, I went, well, LeBron doesn't play for New York. So is it related to LeBron's agent or not? You follow me?
Yes.
Like, in other words, if you know, yesterday when we were having the discussion, you had pointed out how Davis hired LeBron's agent, so he wants to go play with LeBron. Okay, that I'll buy. Except if the Knicks are on equal footing with the Lakers, LeBron doesn't play for the Knicks.
Okay, so what's your conclusion?
So my point is there's a lot of bull crap flying around out there that's hard to distinguish between right now.
I'll give it to you. I think that the Rich Paul camp is now realizing that telegraphing his move to the Lakers so clearly has pissed everybody off and got everybody's back up. And they are better off now sort of shying away from the – in other words – they put out reports and say, yeah, we'll go to Milwaukee and the Clippers too. And you know what? The Knicks have just as good a chance as anyone, because the league does not want the New Orleans Pelicans to hand Anthony Davis to the Lakers. They don't want that. They don't want those optics of the agent and the players, you know.
Controlling the league.
Controlling the league.
Of course.
And so that's been a big obstacle. I mean, the entire league, and I'm not talking like the league office. I'm talking like other teams and the whole consensus of the league is probably telling New Orleans, don't just hand this guy to the – don't give the Lakers their next great player because LeBron wants him. It's a horrible precedent. And maybe that worked against the Kawhi Leonard thing last year too. So now I think Rich Paul's camp is saying, well, it's not just the Lakers. It's the Knicks too, and we'd go to Milwaukee. That's bullcrap, because he wants to go to the Lakers and he's trying to mitigate that insider trading.
That might be. And you know, I'm starting to wonder too where these, you know, these teams are saying, no, we're not going to deal with the Lakers. I wonder if it's really about dealing with LeBron. Because if LeBron were in another market, I think it would be, nope, we're not going to let you run the league.
Yeah.
To me, it's about – I'm starting to really believe it's about LeBron. Because the Kawhi Leonard thing, everyone knew LeBron was going to the Lakers. Right? LeBron's going to go to the Lakers. That's what's going to happen. So why are we going to give the Lakers someone else too? It's really more about letting LeBron run the league, and I think people are getting tired of
it. Okay, we've got two fronts. There's already been a breaking news situation and a trade that affects the Celtics, Marc Gasol, to the Toronto Raptors. Now, the Raptors, the Bucks, and the Sixers have all made improvements at the deadline. The Celtics have 44 minutes to do it themselves. We are got you covered right up and through the NBA trade deadline here on Felger and Maz. To your phones right after this.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Miss something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Maz.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
The thing that has opened the door for the Lakers to at least play the card of, hey, maybe this offer isn't there in July, is what Kyrie Irving has said in the last week in Boston, indicating that he's not certain anymore, that there's now questions about whether he's going to re-sign. Because the Lakers then can say, hey, look, if Boston thinks Kyrie is out, are they really going to offer Jason Tatum? Are they really going to offer the mother load, knowing that maybe Kyrie isn't going to be there? Because Kyrie is the carrot. Kyrie is the guy guys want to play with. Kyrie is the thing that makes Anthony Davis a sin to stay instead of going elsewhere. That has thrown the tentacles of this are everywhere. But that's the Boston. Now, Boston seems confident. They always seem confident. But that's cracked open the door a little bit for the Lakers to at least make a little bit of a desperate play.
That's Zach Lowe on his podcast. And I like that he points out both on his podcast and in his writing that the Celtics are confident. They're always confident. Lowe will point out that their default setting is optimism, which is, you know, I put it another way. Like, you just sort of overrate your team. And it's this, you know, this the whole green team experience is very, it's like very positive and unrealistic sometimes. And Lowe puts it a different way. He says they're confident. They're always confident. But that's true. The Celtics are confident that there's nothing to see here with Kyrie Irving. I'll tell you, even if that's the case, he certainly didn't help your cause, because Lowe's right. You know, Kyrie now changing his tune has opened the door for Davis going elsewhere.
Sure.
You know, I mean, Kyrie's not playing the game you want him to play.
No, he's not helping the Celtics. I mean, that's the thing. That's as alarming as anything. It's a fair point.
And not just in terms of him coming back himself, but making it a destination for Anthony Davis.
Exactly right, because if you're another player now and this is out there, you're saying, well, I don't know about Boston. Kyrie's saying he may not stay
right,
there.
Exactly.
He's affecting the Celtics' ability to do business.
Exactly.
Is what it comes down to. Adversely affecting the Celtics' ability to do business, which in and of itself should irritate the crap out of the Celtics. But again, like, you know, this is, you've got to appease the player. If you want to keep him, the Celtics have to keep their mouths shut. And play this straight and let Kyrie do whatever he wants until they've got him locked up. They have no choice.
Okay, I promise your reaction. Here it is. Walter in Marlboro. Hi, Walter.
Hey, guys. So I just have two quick questions for Jimmy, the basketball genius Stewart. First question is, why do you think Valanciunas is a better fit than Gasol?
Because Gasol, I think, needs to start, and Valanciunas doesn't necessarily need to. And
Why do you think that?
Can I finish my answer?
Sure.
Thank you. I think also that Gasol is a step slower on defense than he was before, and I don't think Gasol, maybe the numbers are different, but I don't think Gasol is as good a shooter as Valanciunas.
All right, so why do you think that one's going to have an issue coming off the bench? And let me just say, in my mind, Gasol is better defensively, shooting, passing. Maybe he's a little slower. I don't know why that's such an issue for a five. But why, you know, I just don't really understand that.
Okay, we don't need the Q&A. I mean, you can just tell us, Walter,
okay,
you think Gasol.
Okay, other question, quick. Why is Toronto not a threat like Milwaukee?
Okay, I think Toronto's more of a threat than Milwaukee.
So do I.
Because I think that Toronto has more. My issue with the Bucks is first of all, the Bucks have no pedigree in the postseason. None. When they win a round, it'll be the first time, I think, under Giannis. Do I have that wrong? I don't think Giannis has ever won a round. So it's totally new for those players. I mean, they should win one, you know, this year, or maybe two, the way they're cleaning up on the East in the regular season. I'm just telling you, it's...
Kawhi is healthy. He's been there. He's been a Finals MVP, and the Celtics can't win there.
Okay, so look at Toronto's pedigree. Kawhi is done it, gone through, and won the thing. And even with the Raptors having come up short so many years against LeBron, they've won a ton of series. So Ibaka, huge postseason experience. Even, you know, Lowry, you know, who I think is a fat bum, but, you know, the guy's been there.
No, and he's, look, say what you want about him. He's made some big shots in his career.
So, like, there's, you know, Toronto's kind of that we've been knocking on the door kind of team. And you can't win in Toronto, or you haven't been. It's been 13, 14 straight or something like that. So there's that. I think Kawhi Leonard is a better closer than Giannis. Giannis is one of these big guys that you don't really – he's not a last shot kind of guy. And that's not just him. That's a lot of big guys fall into that category, and that's where he is. So in Milwaukee, who's taking the last shot? Middleton? Brogdon? So, I mean, compare that to Kawhi Leonard or Kyrie Irving or some of these other teams. I'm just going to nip the Bucks eventually these close games.
I mean, to me, it's as simple as Kawhi. Like, if Kawhi's not there, I don't take Toronto seriously. But now that he's there, I do. Like, again, and I've come around on him. I know I was slow. I know. Okay? So you don't have to shove that in my face. I get it. I was a little slow on Kawhi Leonard. He scares the crap out of me in the playoffs. Antetokounmpo can't shoot from the perimeter.
Well, he's not there yet. Okay?
It's better than it was.
It's right. It's coming. And, you know, in a couple of years, he'll be another seven-footer just standing on the line chucking threes. But he's not there yet. And he's not, again, it's hard for the big guy
to be the last shot guy. Garnett wasn't that. They didn't, you know, dump it into Shaq with 2 minutes left. It was D Wade or, you know, what's his face? Kobe Bryant. So it's like the big guy still. So it's just not him. And that's where the Bucks are. But I'll tell you this. You're going to have to go on the road. And this is another thing where I disagree with Gary Washburn. He wrote that while the season hasn't worked out as well as the Celtics would have liked, they are still the third seed in the East. Plenty of time to catch the Bucks. You're six games behind in the loss column with 28 to go. That's not plenty of time.
No, it would take a hell of a run. I read the same line this morning. I mean, that's a little bit of a stretch.
So they
could catch Toronto, though.
You're six out in the loss column, and you have 28 to go. I believe it's 28. You got to go on one hell of a run, and the Bucks have cleaned up on the bad teams in the East. So I don't think you're catching the Bucks. You can catch Toronto, and I think that's important because I think road in Toronto is a whole other story. But that's what sort of ties in today. All these other teams are making moves, and you're not. So how do you feel about that? We got Michael in Tennessee. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, love the program. Hope you had a great time in the ATL, and thanks for being so cool to my brother when you guys met him. So
no problem. What do you got, Mike?
Having said all that, look, man, it scares me, this trade. If we give up the future not knowing if Davis is going to stay, I just think that's idiotic. And that's, to me, putting an ass out hat on. And I just don't feel like you guys got to sell me on this because I just...
Okay, well, no, I don't have to. I agree with that take. I don't think they'll do it. They won't make the trade unless they know Davis is going to resign. They're not going to do that. Tatum's too good. You know, this isn't...
I think they will do it if they think they're going to lose Kyrie.
And so that's the other variable. What if by making the trade...
Because then you risk losing Tatum and not having Kyrie or Anthony Davis.
So, there's another dynamic in play that we haven't even necessarily gotten into. Those two are buddies. Kyrie and Tatum are buddies. Like, on some level, you know what, to get Anthony Davis, Kyrie's going to ask the Celtics to trade Tatum? Like, that's weird in and of itself. You know, the Dookie thing, for crying out loud. So, I'm telling you, how they navigate this, you got me. This one is tough. That's a hard one.
Cam and Taunton, how do you feel about everybody in the East making moves except for the Celtics today?
I don't feel good about it. I mean, because I'm going to put this as bonus. But if the Celtics lose in the first or second round, Kyrie is gone. Gone if they lose in the first or second round. There's no way he's staying if you do that. You need to at least reach the conference final or go to the finals if you want to have any chance of keeping him. And everyone around you is improving, and Danny is sitting on his hands. Now, granted, he could make a move on the buyout market if one of those Knicks big men, I don't know if it's Jordan or Cantor, is bought out and get one of them. Fine. Either one of those two guys would help them right now. But as of right now, how could you not be frustrated? I still have a goal of trying to push the Warriors this year and seeing what can happen and getting to the finals. They're playing the best basketball of the year right now. You can't just sit on your hands and do nothing.
Okay. Let's see what Danny does. How much time do we have to go for Danny to do something, Jimmy?
30 minutes until the NBA trade deadline.
Anthony Davis doesn't want to come here? What are you kidding me? Greatest city ever. City of champions. We got the GOAT. We don't want you. F*** you and your unibrow.
Oh, my God. If the Celtics got DeAndre Jordan as a buyout, I'd have a seven-footer in my pants.
That's a great move.
If they got Cantor. Cantor's a pretty good player.
I love DeAndre Jordan, and I know he can't shoot. He's been better at it this year. I don't care. I love DeAndre Jordan.
Well, if you think you got to get out of the second round at least to keep Kyrie, if not more, watch the standings. You're three games in the loss column behind Toronto. 3.5 games total. 3.5 games behind Toronto with 28 to go.
And you still have one up there, right?
Right now, it's the 2-3 matchup, which means you get them in the second round, and you're there. You're on the road for that series.
That's a huge game swing. I mean,
it is.
To play game seven here versus there is huge.
It is
absolutely massive,
okay.
That game.
Speaking of that, there has been a trade made in the Eastern Conference that affects the Celtics. Murray with details here in the update, and we're back with more of your thoughts.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5 The Sports Hub. He's got to live with what he said in October to his teammates and to the fans. But has Kyrie Irving earned the, I don't know what you call the that process, that recruiting process that goes on when you're an elite free agent, and you know the thing that LeBron went through in 2010, where all the you know the teams make their pitches, and they has he earned that going through that process? Sure, he hasn't done that yet, so I think he's certainly earned that. What does Kyrie Irving want? Does he want to win? Does he want, you know, what are the other things that he might want? I mean, it's hard to argue against is there a better situation for him somewhere else? It's hard to envision one.
Sean Grandy on with Beadle and Zoe this afternoon. Again, a lot of this goes back to Kyrie. The whole tonality of this deadline, the more you think of it, would be totally different if Kyrie hadn't done what he did last Friday. If he had come out last Friday and recommitted to the Celtics, this has a whole different tone to it.
Here, you mean?
Everywhere. The Davis to the Celtics is more realistic. Maybe Davis isn't so adamant about not coming here. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I, you know, from a PR standpoint, from the storylines here, from just the, I don't know, the whole energy of the deadline, it changed with the Kyrie stuff.
I just think it's that part of it changed more here than anywhere else. And the reason I say that, because Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, they're all going to be on the market this summer. I mean, so you're going to get some unbelievable leveraging and posturing and maneuvering this summer.
So, and what Grandy misses, and what I think a lot of people miss, unfortunately, and it sucks. It sucks. And it's really about that league versus any other, is what if it's not about the basketball reasons? You know, roster-wise and winning-wise and organization-wise, there is no better spot than here. This should be the priority. If this were any other sport, the guy would want to stay here. But these guys want to make their movies. They want to lay down their hot tracks. They want to...
Yeah, they want other business opportunities.
They want that whole thing. You know? Like, I mean, just these guys want to live and work in L.A. They just do. The NBA player does.
Or New York.
Or New York or South Beach. Or they just do. And in football, it doesn't really feel that way. The big free agent will go to Buffalo, Green Bay. The quarterback will stay in Buffalo, Green Bay, New Orleans as soon as he'd go to New York or Los Angeles. Doesn't matter in football. Hockey doesn't care. They'll go to freaking Winnipeg for the most part. Baseball doesn't feel like it's an issue for those guys. They'll go anywhere. But basketball, for some reason, these guys want to be in certain markets, and they don't want to be in others.
Well, and what's scary, too, particularly if you're the Celtics, is that Kyrie, Durant, who I didn't even mention when we were rattling off names a minute ago, Kyrie, Durant, and Kawhi Leonard, you know what they have in common? They've all won. They already have rings. Durant's got multiple rings. So they may not make a decision based on winning.
Oh, that's a good point.
They may make a decision based on something else. So that they look at it, and Kyrie Irving could look at it and say, what do I need to worry about being here for? I can go to New York. We'll build an house. As long as I can make my movies and everything else, I'm good in New York. I'm better off there.
Hmm. Bob in Brookline, your thoughts on this?
What's going on, fellas? Thank you for having me on. I just wanted just to go on a little rant because ever since when we traded for Kyrie, I didn't think he was going to stay here long term. The NBA got so soft, and then he did a movie in New York, and he loves New York, and he's so fragile, him and Durant and all this stuff. And, you know, I think the Celtics are just better off going with that team mentality and how he had. I don't know, like the earlier caller said that, you know, he would prefer having Rozier. You know, I wouldn't be as dumb to say that, but, man, why not maybe so go Bob, for a guy like...
So, Bob, just let me stop you, because you make a good point that we had this yesterday. Maz lost his mind, but let's just reset it. Kyrie has made the Celtics a little less likable, or, you know, he's changed what this team is. The team used to be greater than the sum of its parts and hardworking and gutty and...
You got max effort every single night. As much as I kind of ragged on the Bridgies, well, I did rag on them, at least you know what you got every night.
They were a scrappy, hardworking team that overachieved and sort of broke the mold of some of the NBA stuff. Now you have a team that is exactly one of these NBA drama queen teams, and it's kind of annoying. Okay, so... I mean, it just is. Are you willing to sacrifice that to win championships? Because do you have to sacrifice that to win championships?
Yes. I mean, in this day and age, you have to give it up. Sorry. Premium talent at that league, you got to give something up. That's just the way it is. It's the nature of the sport. The star player in that league dominates and has all the power, and that has been true for decades. decades, for crying out loud. So now all of a sudden we're okay with 50-32 and get bounced in the second round of the conference final. And even if you do reach the conference final, you're still miles away from a championship. I mean, come on. The whole point is to win a championship. If we're not going to do that, why play?
Justin in Worcester, your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm all for giving up all the talent in the world for proven players. But what has Anthony Davis proven? He's been in the league for so long. I get he's averaging a double-double, but every time they go to the postseason, he shrinks. He's legit done nothing to warrant trading your whole team for. There's so much.
Okay. Well, let me just stop you on that point. Is that a fair point?
Yes.
That he's never elevated his team, and that should give you pause.
Yes, it should a little bit. But I'll tell you what, there's a variable there that Anthony Davis really hasn't been able to control. Who's the best wing player he's ever played with? And the game is played.
DeMarcus Cousins doesn't count.
No, and to me, he's another big guy.
Yeah.
Right? So who's the best sort of facilitator and wing player that he's ever played with? And I think he'd have Jimmy would know better than I. I haven't examined every New Orleans Pelicans roster. But, you know, there was a period of time there where they started playing better when Rondo was there, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so to me, the thing Davis can't do is handle the ball in the perimeter and run the offense. He's just not that kind of player, right? Doesn't mean he doesn't have great value.
Stylistically, does he fit how they want to play here?
The Celtics?
Yep.
Well enough. He's not a pure three-point shooter, but he can shoot from out
there.
Okay,
but you go inside out with him, right?
Yes.
Do they really want to play that way?
They can. I mean, I would say as long as you – ultimately, you want both. You want to come out and challenge us on the perimeter? Fine, we'll dump it into the big guy. We'll take the automatic two, and he can shoot free throws. So we're okay with him getting fouled too. So now where are you going to defend us? So I think you need some of that. Golden State is sort of a unique case because they have so many – historically good shooters. It's just unusual. But I would say more often than not, you need somebody who can do some damage near the basket.
Jimmy, how much time we got till the deadline? It's getting closer. I can feel it. Let me know, please.
Tick-tock.
We also have another noteworthy trade.
Ooh. Hold on. Wait a minute. Put your finger on a different button, Jimmy. Go ahead.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yes, you could say the Philadelphia 76ers no longer trusting the process as they are sending Markel Fultz to the Orlando Magic in return for Jonathan Simmons, a Thunder first and Cavs second.
Oh, my God.
But Markel Fultz no longer a Philadelphia 76er.
Yard sale.
Now going to the Orlando Magic.
What the hell? Oh, my God. Did they butcher that pick? Did you pants the Philadelphia 76ers? That is one. Like, that'll be an all-time. I don't know how many titles Ainge is going to win, but his trade record, how many trades? He's just pantsed people. I mean, absolutely embarrassed the other guy he's trading with. This will go down as one of them. Who's the piece? Who's the player?
Yeah, who's Jonathan Simmons? I don't know
I can't
about
speak
him.
To Jonathan Simmons.
Help me with that, Jimmy. Who's that?
That might be the best wing player Anthony Davis has ever played with.
Oh, there you go. Like, way to close the loop on that one. Wow. Oh, my God. You traded up, you donkeys. You traded up to get this guy. And now it's for Richard Simmons
Richard Simmons, Oklahoma City first-round pick, the Cleveland second-round pick.
Oklahoma City first-round pick? That sucks. That's going to be like 24th or something.
Exactly.
So is your Kings pick.
Well, yeah, but it's a different story.
Jonathan Simmons is averaging 7 points a game this year. He's 29.
Oh, my God, Celtics fans. You want to pleasure yourself over something today? Do that. That is, you want to give Ainge, you know, you want to give Ainge a grope? That's one. He got them to trade down. Or, I'm sorry, up. He got them to trade up.
So think of that.
To take a guy who is a literal basket case and now was traded for Richard Simmons, a low first and a second.
So again, just play it out. Philly traded Jason Tatum. hold on. Jason Tatum and a first rounder for Markel Fultz and then swapped him for a late first, a second, and who?
Richard Simmons. Yeah.
Oh, my God, that is so...
Pop those knees!
Yeah, the guy best known for Party Off the Pounds.
No. So this is why I'm telling you, this process is the biggest fraud propagated on America in forever.
But at least Philly has come to the realization because they brought in a, you know, they brought in Tobias Harris and got rid of this bum.
Oh my God, that is wow,
wow.
Wouldn't you just hold on to Fultz by some miracle?
And hope that he figures it out.
I'd hold on to him for 4 years if that's what it took, or five, however long you have rookie rights. I would hold on to him forever because it is so embarrassing. That is so embarrassing to the 76ers. I would just hold on and say, no, he had some mental problems or a shoulder problem, or I'd make it up until he literally couldn't walk on the floor.
Philly traded the number 3 pick in the draft and a first rounder for who?
What's his name? Jonathan Simmons.
A second and a late first. That's like the kind of deal Belichick would make.
Oh, my God. That deal is so bad. Peter Chiarelli's sitting there somewhere going, wow, that's a bad deal.
Let me trade a high pick for 2 lower ones.
Oh, my God. That is in the annals of Danny Ainge's trade swipes. That is number one. Markel Fultz. And I'll tell you, I never even heard of the kid. I never watched a single. I don't even watch the highlights. But when I heard that his team, it was Washington, right?
Yeah, lost to Yale.
Went 9-18 or something in the games that he played, and they lost to effing Yale. This is one I did get right. I said, no problem trading out of that pick. I got no trust in a kid who loses to Yale. As the number one overall pick, you've got to be kidding me.
Jonathan Simmons.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Jonathan Simmons, when he first came into the league, was 26.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
26.
What? That is so embarrassing. So, anyway, we're now 11 minutes until the deadline, or 10 minutes to the deadline, but Jimmy Murray did the sounder, so just
no, I have one at 3. That's it. There's not a minute away.
Oh, there's not a 15 minutes away?
No.
Oh, all right. Then we're good.
We'll play it at 3 then.
Okay, we got 10 minutes to go. Tick-tock, tick-tock. Deals are still happening, so don't leave your radio. We'll be right back.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Getting Anthony Davis in a trade may be what is necessary to keep Kyrie Irving. That Boston has to start looking at this trade this way. We aren't just trading for Anthony Davis. We aren't just putting a package of players and assets together to get AD. We're doing it to get AD and Kyrie Irving. And that's how they have to look at it. And I think you look then at Jason Tatum. Listen, nobody in Boston wants to imagine having Jason Tatum but no AD and no Kyrie Irving. You would take the two, obviously. And the fact that they gave up so little, really, for Kyrie Irving, I think they have to look at this as one big trade.
Well, and fans in Boston don't want to imagine that they will have to include Jason Tatum in a deal for Anthony Davis. But that may be the reality. That is the trump card. That is the trade piece that no other team that's in the bidding now. Right. There may be other teams that get in the bidding later. That's the piece that he's a better prospect right now than anyone on the Lakers. That's what the Pelicans would wait for. The Celtics can't explicitly promise it now. Right. They can certainly imply it. But that's the offer that they would wait for if they do. But, so, you know, the bird in the hand is powerful in a league that changes every 5 seconds. That's powerful.
That's Woj and Zach Lowe again. That's what the Pelicans have to weigh here in the next 5 minutes. 3 minutes. 3 and change. That Tatum's going to be there in the offseason. You know, pass up on some of the other offers for Tatum in the offseason. That's apparently what they are banking on, unless something thunderous comes down here in the next 3 minutes. We continue with your thoughts here on Felger and Maz Trade Deadline Edition. Pete in Delaware. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. Hey, I have no confidence that Kyrie's coming back. He made those comments for a reason. Like you guys said, he could be recruiting people to Boston, but he's not. He's leaving that whole thing open-ended. And the other thing is, too, is, I mean, I said it before, Gordon Hayward's play, he didn't choose to play with Gordon Hayward. He was traded after the fact. So he has another excuse to leave because Gordon Hayward isn't playing up, you know, to what he was before the injury. And I think that's a factor, too. I don't think it
Pete, that good. second part is a great point. Kyrie can always say, I know I said that in October, but I was traded here. It's not like I chose you.
Sure.
And, you know, like this was ever my first choice. I agreed to come here. I liked it here. But at the end of the day, this wasn't where I wanted to be. So, I mean, like, he has that. He can dial it all the way back to the trade if he wants. That first part, though, is so true. I mean, And this whole nonsense, you know, this is, again, the Green Teamers trying to make excuses for Kyrie. He wants to be his own man. He doesn't want others putting the narrative on him. Well, then why not just say he's a Celtic? Because all these others, the whole narrative is, oh, you're going to New York with Durant. Oh, you're going to the Lakers with LeBron. Oh, you're going to go here. So you shut everybody up and become your own man by saying, no, I'm staying in Boston. He easily could make that statement that I'm proving I'm my own man because I ain't going anywhere. I'm not playing these games. I'm here. But he didn't. But he didn't. He went just in the opposite direction. He easily could have said that. And the caller's right. By him doing that, that becomes a little bit of a lure instead of now Davis doing everything he can not to come here. That was a big swing there last week.
No, what it really tells you again is that he's a follower more than he is a leader. Right? Because the truly confident guy will sit there and say, no, I'm staying. People are going to come to me. I'm going to draw people here. Kyrie wants to see what happens before he makes a choice.
Keith in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, I was wondering, why is it the NFL is the only league with a franchise tag? Is it because of their CBA? Because there'd be great drama if the NBA had a franchise tag to put on Kyrie to tell him just to shut up, you're franchised.
What? No, I mean, that's a fair point. But they have something that's close, though. And that's like the Supermax thing that, you know, when you re-sign with your team versus another team, it means, you know, tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars. Like this Anthony Davis thing, if he does this Supermax thing now and then re-signs again in 5 years in the same sort of mechanism, that's, I heard today, like 80, 90 million more than he can make anywhere else.
Correct.
You know, when you include this one and then the next one, that it'd be 90 million that he can't get on any other team and that he's leaving on the table.
Right.
So that's not a franchise tag, but that's sort of close.
No, it's a lot of dough.
I mean, my God.
Yeah, you know, but the Celtics have that edge with Kyrie right now.
They don't because they didn't draft him?
No, well, and so now
no, don't find.
All I know is they don't have it.
I'll just take your word for it. He can't do the Supermax.
No, they can't do it with Kyrie right now. So the only advantage they have is I think they can offer one more year, right? But none of these guys are signing long-term deals anyway. So there's no real advantage for Kyrie to remain in Boston at the moment.
I know these shoe deals are lucrative and the marketing deals are lucrative. You got to sell a hell of a lot of shoes to make up $90 million in basketball revenue.
Well, and that's, I mean, you know, when you're talking that amount of money, that's just ridiculous. So, you know, to walk away from that is a little different. But at this stage, Kyrie's got all the leverage.
Okay, Jimmy, here we go. We've reached it, right?
No! You shut up! Shut up! Leave Danny alone! He knows what he's doing! Shut up! We're going to stand pat, and you're going to like it! Shut up!
All right, that is the deadline. It has come and gone, and well, there's usually a slow trickle of moves, so you know we'll wait for the trickle, but as of now, really, I think the headline today is that the competition in the East all made moves. You did not. Anthony Davis stays in New Orleans, and just for fun, the pantsing of the Philadelphia 76ers and that draft day move a couple of years ago where Danny traded out of 1-3 and got Tatum, and the Sixers took Markelle Fultz. Has that come home to roost where the Sixers today sell Markelle Fultz to the, and I say sell, they just peddle. They just dump Markelle Fultz to the Orlando Magic for a late first, a second, and just a guy, just a piece.
That Jonathan Simmons.
Oh, my God. I told you, if I were the Sixers, that return is not worth the PR hit. Like,
internally, they must have had major issues.
So, I say tough?
No. I'm not saying. I'm just saying I think it tells you what was going on inside. The fact that they were willing to do it's got to tell you that it was bad. It was bad.
Holy moly. That is unreal that they would just sell like that as opposed to you took the guy first overall. You sent them another first-round pick in exchange for all this stuff. And why not just wait to see if somehow, even if it's a 1% chance that he figures it out and learns how to shoot and, you know, just clears his head and figures it out. In 3 years, 4 years, just try and save some face. This is embarrassing.
I mean, what one of the great absolute freaking pantsings of all time, if that's even a word.
At least Joe Barry Carroll, was an NBA player.
Correct.
Was he an all-star? I mean, he was...
I don't think he made the all-star team, but he played in the league.
Did Joe Barry Carroll win a championship at one point with the Warriors way back when?
No.
Wasn't he?
No. Championship, no.
Way back when... So I guess I have it all confused.
No.
But at least he was an NBA player.
They traded the number three pick in the draft and a subsequent first rounder, which has yet to even be really paid yet. Okay, whether it's big or not, at the time we thought it had a chance to be. They traded number three and a first rounder for Jonathan Simmons, a second and a late first. Talk about getting absolutely your pants pulled down and spanked in public.
Oh, man. All right, so those are the deadline headlines. More of them right here in the update with Murray. No commercials, and we come back and react.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.